Now, Bob will be here, and I want you to understand this. Apart from my wife, Terry, I don't know of anyone who knows me. And so if he says something, it's me speaking. And the way Bob and I work and the way leadership works in general, I think you'll understand this. If Bob were to say something that's not the way I would do it, I'll change and do it that way, because that's what leadership does. He represents me, and I've got his back. Do you understand that? So there's no confusion. You've probably, because you guys are perfect, your kids probably never asked mom something and then went around and asked dad. You probably don't know what I'm talking about, but I had three boys. And I could tell by the look on their face they'd already been to mom, and mom had already said no. How many of you know that at that point, you're going to make a big mistake if you say yes? Right? Yeah. Consider Bob and receive him with all honor and respect. He might not be grandpa, but he's certainly your great uncle. And I know you love him. I also will say this about Bob or Robert. I've been around a little while. Terry and I started pastoring when I was 20. I'll be 61 soon. So we've dealt with a few churches and a few problems. We've seen successes and we've seen declines or whatever. I don't like to use the word failures, but I'm not afraid to make a mistake. You know, don't be afraid to make a mistake, his father said, because God will get you out of it, you know. But I've never, in my experience, I don't know of a man in the prophet's office that's as balanced scripturally as Bob. You know, I've got some friends that are on the wild side of the prophets, and I honor them and I respect them, because when the anointing shows up, whoo! But sometimes I wish they were just a little bit more word-oriented, you know, on their off day. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I got a major revelation on that scripture you shared today about Samuel. I never saw this. I don't know if you have, but I never. What a wonderful opportunity to teach prophetically. Did you notice that Samuel, the prophet, did not try to interject himself, Eli, the priest, did not try to interject himself between God and Samuel. He could have got in between that. He could have said, now, young man, God will speak to me, and I'll let you know. Because that goes on today. But Eli didn't try to interject himself between Samuel and the Lord. He promoted it. And that's what Israel was trying to bring across today. I'll be grandpa, and yeah, Bob will be great uncle, and yeah, the buck will stop with us, and if there's a crisis, it's good to know how decisions are made or who's making the decisions. But you know what? Don't let any of that interject between you and Jesus. Amen? Doesn't the Lord speak to you? Yes, I know he does. I know he does. And he's seeking you. Thank God. Here I am, Lord. Now what the prophet Isaiah said, God's seeking you. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Amen? And don't you be like some of them out there. And obviously, you're here today, so it's not you, but I've met some people. They'll come up on this side of the altar, and they'll cry, oh, Lord, use me, use me, use me, Lord. Here I am. Hey, here I am. Use me. And you just wait 6 months, and they're over here on this side of the altar. Oh, Lord, I feel used. I just don't understand. I feel used. Well, just remember that side of the altar. Amen. Lord, use me. And he will. He will. Now, let's close a little bit here with, I think, the greatest scripture talking about church life that you'll find in the whole Bible. Let's go back to Psalms 23. Just to save our time a little bit, I know Israel was real bold. He said he doesn't have to fly out till 10 o'clock tonight, but we'll probably dismiss a little bit before then. God bless him. He flew in, and now he's flying all the way back. God bless you, brother. I hope you all know how hard that is on our body. And as good as he looks, he's not 25. When he was 25, it's all right. You bounce back. But now that you're 35, it's a little bit more. It's a little more difficult. But if you look there and remember, we'll stay in Psalm 23. But if you remember in 1 Peter 5, he goes on to talk about submission to authority, but he says something powerful. He says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear." Let's look to Jesus. When the chief shepherd will appear. Pastor Bill moved to heaven. Let's look to Jesus, the chief shepherd. See, you can say, well, that's talking about the end of time. Well, wait a minute. It could be right now. I don't think it's news, but Jesus is alive. And we need the shepherding of himself in this church. Perhaps you remember in Matthew, it says, if two or more are gathered together, he said, there am I, right? So when does the chief shepherd appear? Don't only look at that verse like there's going to be a day when Jesus will crack the sky and the chief shepherd will show up. That will happen. But wait a minute. Jesus is alive. I've been privileged. Most of the time it happened in Armenia for whatever reason. I think once it happened in Russia. But several times in Armenia, while I was praying in mass, because there was too many people, I saw Jesus. God opened my eyes. I saw him walking through the aisles, laying hands on. He'd stop, lay hands on people. And then I'd give the opportunity for people to come forward and give their testimony, and it was those people. He's alive. He's very much present in his church. So when the chief shepherd appears, see, what is that? That's God's anointing moving, sometimes through you. And if that happens, see, if I can get you to that place to embrace it, you make the job of the guy up front really easy. I asked the Lord when I was like 20, how do I pastor these people? And he says, well, one of the first things the Lord instructed me was to start a bookstore, because if you can get books into people's hands, they'll answer a lot of their questions. They won't bother you. Yeah. And it makes your job a little bit easier. And then you figure out, and I've been blessed, you know, that when people come to me and ask a question, I take a book and stick it in their mouth. I said, here, go read this and come back and see me. Somebody said, well, Pastor Dale, can I counsel with you? Would you set up a counseling appointment? I said, I will, but you got to read this book first. You're going to counsel. If I'm going to sit down and counsel with you, you're going to read Charles Capp's book, The Tongue, A Creative Force, before we ever talk, because most people have already cursed their life with their own mouth. And once they get their tongue straightened out, their life straightens out. And if you read the book of James, you'll find out that's what James says. He says, if you straighten out your tongue, you'll straighten out your whole life, right? Well, the other thing I realize is if the church will actually begin to be church, and if the family will actually begin to be family, isn't it exciting as a parent when you see one little boy taking care of the other little boy? Isn't it exciting when you see the little girl helping her brother, you know, put on his little bib, so he doesn't get milk down the front of it? What is that? That's just family, isn't it? I remember a friend of mine, he had 9 kids. And I had the privilege of watching 9 kids come to the breakfast table one day. I thought 3 was a lot. But here's 9 kids around his table. It was amazing. I thought, well, you actually can have 9 children. Yeah. And what was going on in that house was peaceful. It was orderly. And you know, I imagine those children grew up maybe a little more friendly than my household. I don't know about you, but me and my brother, we fought. I don't know what it was. But, you know, well, the Holy Ghost didn't come into our family until I was about 16, right? So when the church realizes you know, we can minister to this. We can go visit the hospital. So-and-so's in the hospital. Come on, let's go. Hey, Pastor, just want to let you know, we stopped by the hospital, prayed for Sister So-and-so. This is what the doctor said. Here's where we're at. And, you know, praise the Lord. We'll get everybody on the prayer list so that everybody's praying for Sister So-and-so. And Pastor's job's a little easier. It's not that hard, is it? It's just being Christians. You know, there's things we can use to make it easier. I formed a little Telegram channel just this morning. And I'm throwing up. I'd like to take pictures. I took a picture of it, of Israel in the pulpit. It's already on the channel. So if you have Telegram on your phone, you let me know. I think Shane, I added him this morning. Oh, he's going to take a picture. Look at that. He's an obedient, a submissive man of God. And he is. He is. Now, Shane at one time was the assistant executive pastor here. He's laid that down to focus and pursue fully the directing the school. And I admire that in him because I've been warning him, Mr. Trump is going to make school choice a thing. And as I understand it, it could be more, but as I understand it, that means if you got three kids, you're going to get $7,000 per child. You got $21,000 to give to Grace Academy. So you're not paying Grace Academy out of your checkbook. You're paying them out of your taxes. And I don't know, Grace Academy, I think double would be pretty minimal. I think we may see a huge explosion of Christian education. And we get to be in that. Because how many years ago was the first school? In 87. Glory to God. Let's keep the faith. Let's keep that faith. Amen. Are you in Psalms 23 yet? So the chief shepherd's going to appear. But I'm not talking about end times. I'm talking about Jesus is in this house. People used to criticize me. Well, you say you have an apostolic ministry. Yes. Well, that's passed away. I said, no. If you're reading your Bible, Jesus says that the apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church. And the fellow said, yeah, and that's all passed away because it was foundational. I said, well, Jesus is the cornerstone. Are you saying Jesus passed away? I never thought of that, he said. Well, you ought to think about that. Because if you got a foundation and Jesus is the cornerstone, you got apostles and prophets. I all of a sudden, I'm not worried about apostles and prophets. I want Jesus in the church. And he's alive. And he's in this church. So the chief shepherd, when he appears. Well, look here in Psalms 23. We're going to talk about the chief shepherd. Look at verse 1. Who's your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, I know Pastor Bill, he went on and stepped over into glory. He's stepped into his reward. He's probably already got a crown on his head. I was looking at all those photos, and I was trying to picture a crown on his head. I think the one I'd like to see with the crown on is where he's got them long Goldilocks, you know. That'd be the best one. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches, right? But guess what? You say, well, I've lost my pastor. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, one of the earliest translations in English, which is still in the prayer book in the Church of England, is the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. That's pretty strong. Why? Because everything comes from my shepherd. And if I lack something, that means you're trying to tell me my shepherd isn't a good shepherd. Think of it that way. No. You know, if the dog don't get fed, whose fault is it? The dog's? No, it's you. You forgot to go buy the dog food. But if the dog, you know, and when I had dogs when I was a kid, that's part of my parents' training. It was my responsibility to feed your dog. And sometimes my dog went hungry. Why? Because I was an undisciplined, unruly little boy that needed his seat warmed. And then the dog got fed. So if the dog wasn't fed, if the dog lacked anything, whose fault was it? It was mine. Well, if the Lord's your shepherd and you lack something, whose fault is it? It's real quiet in this Episcopalian church. Right? No, he's never going to fail. 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 I like that song. He never going to fail. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. See, God's plan for you, your shepherd's plan, is good. It's peaceable. It's rest. Oh, hallelujah. See, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it. The word for this place is sanctuary. Don't forget what sanctuary means. It means you can escape and get into sanctuary. This is my sanctuary, Lord. Well, that's where evil's on the outside. It's out there. Let's make sure we check our baggage at the door and not bring it in to the sanctuary. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil. Why? For you're with me. Who is with you? Your shepherd. Yeah, your shepherd's with you. I'm not going to be afraid of any evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I'm not going to wax too historical here, but there's two aspects to the rod and the staff. One apparently was that nook on the end of the rod was to secure some lamb that's fallen down in the ditch. It's to lift you up out of harm's way, right? The other side is the rod itself is to give you a good whack on the back side. Am I the only man? I understand. You had Pastor Bill as your pastor, so you're perfect. But every once in a while, I need a swift kick in the pants. I know you've probably never been there. So every once in a while, I need to be reminded of a few things. So the anointing comes upon my wife, and she preaches my sermons back at me. Nothing hurts quite so much as when my own wife preaches my own sermon back at me that I've forgotten. Thank God. Amen? Well, that's the rod and the staff. They comfort me. Don't be afraid to come to church if it hurts. Yeah, Brother Joe was telling me, hello, Joe. Everybody say hi, Joe. He's from Wales. He's come a long way to be a part of us today, and I appreciate you, brother. I liked your spirit the minute I shook your hand. But one of the things he said is, I know God still loves me because he still chastises me. Right? Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? I mean, if the Lord stops chastising us, uh-oh. You know, I won't tell you, but the title of my sermon, but years ago I preached a sermon, the title of it was You Bastard You. Right out of the King James Bible, because if you're not being chastised, then you're a bastard, and a bastard means you don't have a legitimate father. Well, I have a legitimate father. Amen. I'm not a bastard. Amen. And if you're not a bastard, you have a legitimate father, your sons by right, he's going to correct you. Amen. So maybe one day I'll pull that out of the archives. It's worth listening to, just the title. Yeah. In Titusville, it was appropriate. It might not be appropriate in this soft, genteel, political world now. Anyhow, let's look at verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, this is what I want to focus on. In the period of time in which I've pastored, one of the things that I've seen repeatedly, and I'll bet Don has seen it too, is God would give the pastor a sermon, then I'd preach it or Bill would preach it. It's just common, and I'm sure Israel knows what I'm talking about. You preach this word that you got from the Lord on a certain aspect of Scripture, and come Monday, someone calls you up and says, "Brother, I wasn't in church yesterday because I'm going through this issue." And that's what you just preached 90 minutes on that issue. You ever experienced that? If I had a nickel for every time that happened, I'd be driving a Mercedes. You see, this is the house of the Lord. This is where God wants to feed you. And this is where he wants to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I like Moffat's translation. It says he'll cause me to sit down and eat while my enemies have to look on and watch. He just blows the whistle, everybody out of the pool, and we're going to eat. You've done it as parents. Kids, we're not play. It's playtime's over. Get to the table. And they got to put their little guns away, and their Indians and their cowboys, and they got to sit down and behave. And God feeds us. He prepares a table before us in the midst of our problems, in the presence of our enemies, when we're going through the rough, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, when there are questions we don't have answers for, when it's really hard and we don't know if we don't even know if we can keep going. But we come and we receive and we're fed at the Lord's table. Because why? The chief shepherd has appeared. And he's using mortal man and flowing through that man. Sometimes you might not even like him. And you're fixated on how come he dressed inappropriately, because that don't match. But somehow God will still use that man because the chief shepherd appears. Right? It's like an old timer said one time, you know your home if that's where your mail's delivered. You know what I mean? I've had people come up to me and they say, "Pastor, I don't understand why anybody else comes to church, because you're obviously only speaking to me." I said, "Well, the Lord has a way of speaking to everybody. You just think it's just for you. Isn't it fun when you think it's just for you?" Well, sometimes, I've been scared a few times, because it's so personal. It's like, who talked to him? I've had people come and get mad at me, because who told you? I'm like, who told me what? I just spoke for 90 minutes. I covered a lot of ground. Who told me what? Well, somebody told you about me. I don't know. Maybe it's not polite, but I don't even know who you are. I recognize your face, but nobody told me about you. Yeah, somebody had to tell you. No, somebody maybe told me, but maybe you ought to go talk to him. That's the church I like to be a part of, where my mail's delivered in that church, see, where I can feed on the Word of God. It's not just a Bible curriculum. I'm not against Bible schools, but it goes above Bible curriculum. It's feeding. You're not just hitting the target, you're hitting the bullseye. Years ago, and I'll wind up here, you'll pardon me for going a little bit long, because we had a doubleheader, but and I won't be back for a while, so I want to get it out. But years ago, oh my, in the 80s, I was helping our brother Stephen Horning. He started a church, the first, what would you call it? Certainly the first faith church, but even the absolutely the first Protestant church in a Catholic nation. There were no other Protestant churches. There's a nation, is called Andorra. It is between Spain and France. It was a principality, and it became its own country. But it used to be ruled by the Pope. in our lifetime. And so it's completely Catholic, no Protestants, and he starts a church, which later found out was completely illegal. They tried to expel him from the country. And but when I went over to helping him, it was my second trip there, he asked me to preach the first service in their home, a small gathering, and initiate the church. This is the first public service of the church. And so he put an ad in the newspaper, and that's what got him in trouble. So we had about 8 people show up, and I was up all night because of jet lag. I used to think it was the Holy Ghost, but later I found out it was jet lag. And I'm praying all night long, and God, I had a great message. We're going to start a church. It's a new, I don't know. There's so many good messages to start a church. Foundations, or who is Jesus, or, you go through this. And I had a great message. I'm sure I did, but God didn't like it. Because he kept coming back and telling me, no, teach on the woman with her daughters possessed of the devil. Now, I don't know if there's any theologians in here, if you remember that story. A woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter's possessed of the devil, help me. And Jesus says, no, go away. And she wouldn't go away. And he said, this isn't for you because you're not in the covenant. And she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs, right? And so he said, great is your faith. And the girl was set free from demonic power. It's a great story, but not the first one I would turn to start a church. And yet, I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it. I've got my nice sermon, theologically correct, but he prepares a table. He does, the chief shepherd, right? So in this little group, about 8 people, I start sharing it. Stephen was the translator, and there were about 4 of them were visitors. He didn't know who they were. They come from the newspaper ad. And this one woman starts to shake, and she starts to cry. I just read the scripture. I hadn't really got to preaching, but she's making such a commotion, I can't hardly continue. So finally, I stopped, said, should we pray for you, sweetheart? What's happening? She's weeping. She said, last night, my daughter, she started talking in a man's voice, and she attacked me with a knife. I had to overpower her and lock her in the closet all night long. She's in the closet screeching and clawing at the closet door, and I'm weeping all. I don't know what to do, and it's a man's voice. And she said, I'm sitting at the table in the morning. It's 6 or 7 in the morning. I look at the newspaper, and I'm crying. And in the newspaper, there's this ad that Jesus saves and heals. So I came here. Well, a friend of mine, I think it was Bruce Latibu, was with me. I said, Bruce, go with her. And we sent another elder from that little group and said, go with her. Go to the house. I'm going to finish the message. So I finished the message. They went, and the girls, they cast the devil out of her. She was set free. They were pillars in the church for years. Pillars in the church for years. Oh, I'm so glad I didn't preach a cute sermon, an acceptable sermon. No, this is the house of the Lord. You say, well, this is Abundant Life Center. Yeah, you have to have a name, right? You got to have a bank account. You got to have a corporation so you can buy and sell land. But is that the kingdom? In fact, the minute that becomes the kingdom, I think we lose our sense of faith. Look at the last verse and we'll close. Now, I don't know if you ever saw Psalms 23 as a church psalm, but the whole psalm is about the church. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I used to think I'd marry a girl named Shirley. Well, she's going to follow me all the days of my life. I'll marry her. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And And where are you going to stay rooted? Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to get to? Where are you going to be fed? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now listen to me. David, the Jews, the Hebrews understood. Some of the things David said was outlandish. Similar to Jesus, when Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven," to us it's normal because we've heard it all our lives. When Jesus said it, it was revolutionary. It'd get you killed. They tried to kill him because you make God your Father. So when the Lord's Prayer was a death sentence. When David said, "I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever," you don't do that. You visit it once a year. You could read through the old covenant. But there were those like Joshua that wouldn't leave. David said, I'm camping out here. You got the rules and the regulations of show up, but I'm going to go a little bit beyond. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. If I can tell you one thing, is get to church more. Yeah, it'll help your life. It'll help your life. It'll straighten out your thinking. It'll get you out of sin. It'll set you on a course. You'll meet the right people. You'll have people join up with you and encourage your faith. And I want to invite every one of you to step into a new ministry today. And I'm very, very serious. I want you to consider a new aspect. And it's biblical. We can go to the book of John, but you can find it yourself. There's a guy named Andrew. He was a disciple. Say, Andrew, I want you to deliberately say, I can be like Andrew. See, what is it? The only thing we know that Andrew really did of any merit is he heard Jesus and he says, I gotta tell my brother Peter. And he says, "Hey, Peter, you got to hear this guy." Now, I must be honest. Somebody, in fact, it was my mom, took me to hear somebody preach the Word of God. Drugged me to church. And I even remember I was fresh out of football practice, sweaty and all my gear. And she says, "If you'll drive down here to this steakhouse, I'll buy you a steak, but you got to listen to this preacher." Steak preacher. The steak won. And I'm going to have a steak and put up with the preacher. Except it was a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. I still remember walking into that room with my tray of steak. And I walked in and something hit me. I never had felt the anointing. It hit me like wind. Thank God my mother invited me. Who's the last time? When's the last time? Somebody says, "Well, you know, I've never led anybody to the Lord." Well, let's just forget about that right now. Because some people say, "Well, I'm afraid to evangelize." Just forget that right now. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? I want to teach you a power phrase. Are you ready? You might want to write it down. Come with me to church. Next phrase is just as important. I'll pick you up. Can you say that? It's not hard. Hey, come with me to church. I'll pick you up. You're not repeating it, I can see. Say it with your mouth. Come with me to church. I'll pick you up. Amen. You can go fishing and you can catch some big fish, and if you know what you're doing, you can gut them out and you can scale them and fillet them. But some people don't know how to do all that. Especially if it's a grandpa role. A little kid catches himself a big bass. Don't make the kid gut the thing out and fillet him and scale him right there on the side of the bank. Later you can teach him that. Although my three boys kind of liked the gory part. But anyhow, so that kind of fails the analogy. You don't have to be the greatest evangelist on the planet to say, come with me to church. Let the altar call bring him in. Now, later it'll make you bold. You want to lead him to the Lord and then bring him to church? Hey, that's great. Skin him, gut him, fillet him. You get them all, you know, all prepped and everything. That's fine. But bring them to church. Now, I'm gonna tell you how to do this, is you got to pray about it. I guarantee you, if you say, Lord, give me somebody to invite to church, you'll run into them. God will bring them across your path. You exercise your faith for it. You know, hey, don't get me wrong. If you meet them in Costco, lead them to the Lord if the Lord leads you in that way. But if you're a little nervous, don't get over it. Take a chill pill. Just say, hey, where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to. Come with me to church. I'll pick you up. It's not hard to say. Well, what if they say no? Who cares? Yeah, oh, well, that's right. Move on. Well, what about your cousin? Maybe they want to go to church. Just move right on. Listen, friends, I'm going to tell you, the chief shepherd, you know what he's saying right now? He wants to fill this room. He wants to fill that balcony. He wants people to hear the gospel. It's what we want. It's what I want. Amen. Let's stand up and we'll close in prayer. Did you get anything out of this morning? I trust you'll be in prayer for me and my wife Terry as I'm gone. Pray and lift up Pastor Bob and Sharon as they minister the Word of God to you. Continue to minister to Miss Donna as she stands tall through this time of the valley of the shadow of death. But he's with us. He's with her. The chief shepherd's with us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us. We're going to see more and more miracles in this room. We're going to see more and more salvations. We're going to see more and more rejoicing. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I extend the love of God, the mercies of God, the compassion of the Lord Jesus upon these people. Grant them favor in their life. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Bring to pass the dreams and the hopes and the goals that have lain dormant. Blow on them like coals until they're rising up like fresh fire. I bless you and I honor you for it, Father. And I ask you to bring to them divine appointments where they can take someone by the sleeve and say, come with me. And Lord, bring forth fruit to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we go, I would want to make an opportunity for you, for all of you. The Bible says, call for the elders of the church if there's any sick among you. Is there anyone struggling with sickness, with disease, with pain? The altar is open right now, and we've got this man of God from India. We'd certainly like to give you an opportunity where we could pray for you. Is there anyone who would like prayer for healing? Come on forward. Come up here. Praise the Lord. Come on up. If you would like prayer for healing, just make your way up here. We're going to believe God. And step forward just a little bit more. Joe, why don't you join me? You believe in praying for the sick, I believe. And of course, Israel, come on up this side. We're going to lay hands. Let's lay hands on them together. And anyone else? Stretch your hands towards these people. Always remember, we're participatory. We're not just watching. We're just not looking on. We participate. What God is doing. Amen. Lord, we just bless you. Hallelujah. Come around here this side, Joe. Come on over here. Just slap your hands on her and pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you for the healing power of God. Israel, jump on there and pray in the boldly by faith in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. We command this body to line up with the Word of God. This body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, and whatever comes on this body must worship God. Thank you, Father, for your promises to hear and to answer. Thank you, Lord, that the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us and gives life to mortal flesh. Lord, our inner man, Lord, is new every day. This outer man, Lord, we need resurrection life. We need assistance by the Spirit. Rise up in us, Holy Ghost, and bring healing power in the name of the Lord Jesus. Miracles in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ha-ra-ba-te-he. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So strong in my spirit, how wonderful, wonderful God's move in your life is. Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs are for the believer. That's for you, not for the altar ministry. But you, me, us, we. Somebody said, well, this one has a special call to healing ministry. Well, I'm fine with that, but let's not use that as an excuse that we don't pray. Because it's very, very clear that this is for all believers. These signs shall follow those that believe. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Somebody said, well, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. Right there's one of them. And please pick up Andrew's ministry. Pick up Andrew's ministry. Just take him by the sleeve. Hey, come with me to church. Come with me to church. Next week, Pastor Bob Hawk will be ministering, and he stands in the prophet's office. So draw on that. That role here, I believe, is going to bring healing, restoration, a vision, a renewal. Things are going to be, let me say it this way. Some of you, how many of you are here from the beginning, you know, or near the beginning? It's going to get more exciting than it was at the beginning. Amen. Yeah. Woo. Amen. Oh, glory.